Today's service includes the children. The format of our teaching is designed to particularly help the children. However, the message is for all ages. I usually remind you all of this. I was commenting earlier that this might be, I wasn't sure how many children were going to be here. And someone said, well, maybe this will be an all-sage service instead of age, but I'm glad to see that we do have some younger people with us today. The series for the all-age services this summer has been dealing with the Bible, as Edward has mentioned. We believe that the Bible is important. How then should we treat it? The first session we had, the Bible is important, so we should take it with us, just like we take our cell phones with us. And if you're like me, you also had to make sure it was at least put to meeting or silent or something before coming in this morning, because I imagine there are quite a few cell phones we have today with us as well. The best way to take the Bible with us, though, is to have it in our hearts, not in our pockets or on the shelf back at home where we might have forgotten to take it with us, but to have it in our hearts. The Bible is important, so we should follow its instructions carefully. That's what we looked at last time, and some of you remembered the illustration because when you saw me with these bags, someone commented, oh, there's a Lego in it to be put together, hopefully with instructions. The comparison not only was with Legos and instructions last time, but with medicine, and how important it is to follow the instructions carefully, to use it correctly, and to follow it fully, not just half-heartedly, part of the instructions, but all what it says. And today we add a third manner in which we treat the Bible as important. And I would like to invite the children, anyone with courage enough to come forward, to come up to the first two rows, because I'm going to be needing your help with the things in this box. I would like to draw attention, particularly for the adults who were here last week. The message was from Psalm 19. And the instruction there introduced the topic for today and for the final all-age service in 2 weeks. Now, what I'd like the children to do is, without looking into the bag, to smell what's in here and see if you can guess what's in these bags. Take a whiff of what's in here. I didn't mark them, so I'm not sure what's in there. Smells more like the bag. Try this one. You're coughing at that one. Try this one. You don't like this one?
I know what it is.
Paul, why don't you smell this one for me? See if you like what you smell on that one.
Chocolate.
It's chocolate. Okay, do you know what's in yours?
No.
No, you don't know what's in yours. Elizabeth? I bet you can tell me.
That's tea.
Well, close. You can make tea from it.
Peppermint.
It's mint, right. Mint leaves. What do you have in your bag? Don't know. You want to try this one?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Good. You work in the kitchen more than your brother does, so. So have you guessed this one yet?
I forget the word.
Okay, think of it and I'll come back to you. Oops, excuse me.
Banana.
It's not for you, Gina. Got it yet? Oh, that's kind of hard. Some of them didn't quite fill the bags up. I opened it up this morning. Would any of the adults like to try? Take a guess at what's in there. Okay. You say your nose is always good, Tim, so give it a sniff here.
Very nice.
Very nice. I'm going to use that one in my tea afterwards.
Lemon?
Lemon. Good. Now, do any of you like the things that you smelled?
Lemon.
Well, this isn't lemon, but it's close.
Then I don't know.
You don't know. Oh, this is a good one. Who wants to try this one? Anyone want to try it? Oh, okay. You already tried it and you said you didn't know it.
Oh, it's the earth. I know it.
Just stick your nose right in there. Give it a good sniff. You can even maybe squeeze the bag a little bit and get a little smell out. Can't tell it? Okay.
I know it.
You know it, you know. Okay, what is it?
Chocolate.
No, it's not chocolate.
What is it then?
That one was lemon. I'm putting the other bag back in. There we go. You had orange. That's what was in there. I didn't put honey in any of these. But last week, we did read from Psalm 19, and it talked that the Word of God, the law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, says they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Do any of you like to eat some of these things? We had orange, banana. Do you like those? Chocolate? Yeah, I saw a hand go up back there. The Bible is much like our favorite foods. It's something we should enjoy and value. Psalm 19, I've read, they're sweeter than honey from the comb. This is something we would really enjoy. The reading this morning was from Psalm 119. One of those verses said, I find delight in the law of the Lord. Throughout Psalm 119, it's one of the longest, so there's a lot of verses. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. So we have a lot of verses. Toward the end, 167 says, I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. 174 says, your law is my delight. 143, your commands are my delight. Verse 140, your servant loves them, your promises. This is the way we often think of our food. Do you have any favorite foods? What's your favorite food? Might depend upon whether you're hungry or not. Now we know that the Bible says that we should find God's word sweeter than honey and more precious than gold. But sometimes, some of us may wonder why or how. Does this ever seem dry to you? More like crackers with nothing to drink. When your mouth is dry and you're trying to chew and you're... How many of you have tried, I won't say whether you were successful or not, tried to read through the Bible in a year? How many of you have tried that? What was it like when you got to Exodus and it was talking about the collection for the temple, the tabernacle, excuse me, and everything, and you were determined, I'm going to make it through this, and you got to the end, and then you hit Leviticus. Were you saying, oh, the Word of God is sweeter than honey? I'm just looking forward to my Bible reading this morning because I want to read more of another sacrifice. And we're wondering, how can this be that the Word of God should be sweeter than honey? Well, there's some of these things. Oh, this is the one that, Paul, you were wanting earlier. I walked in with these bags and said, oh, chocolates. Can I have some chocolate? And I said, well, one of the bags have chocolate. Would you like me to pass this one around? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, there's just enough pieces for every child up here. I might just pass that around. If you like 40% milk chocolate, there's a bag for you. Now, with that, if you came home from school in the afternoon and you were really hungry, is this is what you want to eat? 5 pieces, little squares of chocolate. You say yes. And you would be satisfied for that. Well, how about what would your mother say at that point? She said, can I have chocolate? And she'll say, well, supper's going to be ready in 30 minutes. And she's going to say, well, go ahead and eat chocolate. What are you going to say? No. Now, she might say, oh, I didn't cut the apple. I was going to bring an apple, too. She might say, you could have some orange or some apple or maybe a little bit of banana. We'll be eating, but you can have a little bit of that. Now, what happened if you were out playing and you came home and you were really thirsty? Would you like to have a slice of lemon? Maybe if it was in a glass of water. The orange might not be too bad. I don't think you'd want the mint leaves. Why would you rather have a bottle of water than the chocolate?
Milk.
Okay. Milk will work. Then you can eat the chocolate with it too. That would probably taste good. We know the benefits of different food. And we know the benefits that water brings. And when we're thirsty, we'll want a glass of water rather than a piece of chocolate. And an apple or a banana or a sandwich would be better for us if we are hungry. If we are thirsty, we take water because that's what takes away our thirst. Now, the psalmist enjoyed and valued God's word because of the benefits it brought. When you're thirsty, you value a bottle of water or the milk because it takes your thirst away. I think, for me, water does better than milk. Now, there's a lot of benefits that the Bible brings to us. One thing, it keeps us from doing wrong things and stupid things. Psalm 119, verses 9, 10, and 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So have you ever done something wrong and gotten in trouble for it? Those of us who are older should have no trouble raising our hands. We've had plenty of time in our life to do something and get in trouble for it. Many of those things, if we had known God's word, we would never have done them. If we had hidden God's word in our heart. Have you ever done something just plain stupid? It wasn't necessarily sinful, but just something stupid. And you say, why did I go and say that? Yeah. You know, that's, the Bible helps us from doing stupid things. The Proverbs talks about the fool. And we, last year, we went through a number of the Proverbs talking about the fool and the simple person. Remember the cups we had, and the simple person was like the cup that didn't have anything in it and was ready to be blown away with anything that comes along. So we need to fill our hearts with the Word of God. Psalm 119 again said, you statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. They tell me, well, this is the smart thing to do, and this is the stupid thing. Don't do that. Do this instead. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Have you ever felt like, well, I just don't have enough strength to do what's right? I know I'm not supposed to take that cookie, say that bad thing, get angry. Where do I get the strength to do that? Strengthen me according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Have you ever felt like you're in a box? No way to go? You're wondering, what is life like? Well, you can walk about with a sense of freedom when you walk about according to God's word. No matter what your situation, even slaves in the New Testament could have a sense of freedom as they did what they were supposed to do unto the Lord. Have you ever been sad? Just discouraged? Have you ever cried? Ooh, yeah. I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them. We find comfort in the Word of God. And we pick our foods according to what we need. At the end of the meal, we have a drawer near our coffee machine. And in that drawer, there's some chocolate. And I like, after the meal, to fix a cup of coffee and open that drawer and take out a little square of chocolate. That's such a treat. I don't do that before the meal. I like sitting down and eating meat, spaghetti, whatever we're having. And I know when's the right thing, and that's the way we treat the Bible. And when we do it that way, we begin to enjoy it. If you're really hungry, you might prefer a sandwich, meat, noodles, rice, depending upon what country you're from. I've heard stories that certain parts of the world, unless you have rice, you haven't eaten yet. You have a lot of other things, but you have to have rice. When I was in Chad, they had boule. And if they hadn't had boule, they hadn't had their meal yet. You walk into the house, come home from work or playing outside, and you smell something wonderful. And your mouth begins to water. Has that ever happened? Adults? Yeah. Why? Why does your mouth water? Some of your mouths didn't water when you smelled these things. You said, what's that? I think it's some of these, the bag is a little bit stronger than I thought it would be. These are all tea for tea. I thought they would not have too much smell, but they do. Why does your mouth water? Adults, if the kids don't know, why would your mouth water when you smell something? Sure, Jeremy?
Because you would like it.
You would like it. How do you know you would like it?
Because
you know it. Why do you know it? Have you
eaten it?
You've eaten it before. You've tasted it. It's tasted good. You like it. You're hungry. You walk in. You smell it. And you're ready. Oh, this is my favorite meal. I like this. Our kids always got to pick their favorite meal for their birthday. You know, that was pretty much tradition. Your birthday, you got your favorite meal and your favorite dessert. We know that it's good because we've tasted it. And you can hardly wait to eat it. We know and we value the Bible because we've tasted it, the benefits it gives. God uses His Word to strengthen us. He uses it to keep us from sinning or doing foolish things. He uses it to give us comfort. And when we've experienced that, we desire it. And that is really the final point. And I've really tried to keep it short to make up for last time. We know that some foods taste good because we've tasted them. Have you ever not wanted to eat something because you never tasted it before? Maybe I should ask your parents. Have you ever sat down a meal? Yeah, I see some nods. You've sat down a meal and you go, ew, what is this? Sometimes it can just look, ew. You got to look at it and say, I don't know if I like that. Now, did you have to eat it?
Yep.
Yep. Our kids were always required to at least taste it. If we put too much on their plate, that was our fault. But if we put a little bit on it, they had to at least taste it. Now, were you ever surprised that it tasted better than it looked? Yeah. In fact, sometimes it might taste really good. And you think, well, this is really good. We often learn to like new foods by first tasting them. We just get a sound. Well, this isn't too bad. We're watching our grandson now on Skype occasionally as he tries new foods. And he'll sort of make a face and then reaches for another piece. He's discovered blueberries. He loves blueberries. Cheese. He's 10 months old. You know, every food is just about a new food for him. Well, that's the way we learn with God's Word. We can and should develop a desire for God's Word by experiencing its benefits. We first have to know what the Bible says, and then we have to do what the Bible says to experience its benefit. You can read the Bible every day, and you can read it through in a year, but if you never do what it says, you'll never experience its benefits. As soon as you start to do, if you let God's Word work in your heart, it's going to be like that food that you finally taste. You've been smelling it, you've been looking at it, you go, I don't know if I like what it looks like. But when you taste it, Psalm 119, verse 140 says, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Why? Others have tasted or tested God's Word and found them to be true and good. We taste or test God's Word and find the same result. And as a result, we love them better than our favorite foods. We sometimes call foods comfort food. Have you ever heard that term at home? How many of you heard that term, comfort food? A lot of hands go up. Those are those type of foods that you just really just enjoy eating. You know, like mashed potatoes and with gravy and, you know, things that just make you feel good. It's probably not that good for you to eat too much of them, but they're comfort food. That's the way the Bible should be for us. There are certain passages or any passages in the Bible that some of you turn to when you're just feeling down. There's struggles in your life. Is there a certain passage that you turn to in the Bible and read it, or you've memorized it and you go through it? Do any of you have that? See a few hands going up there. There's talk with others afterwards. This is your comfort food. This is spiritual comfort food where you go back to. Psalm 23 is for many people that type of verse. You're going through struggles and you remind yourself, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You go on, you think, oh, He leads me. He's with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. And you remind yourself of God's promises. And you know it's true. It's your comfort food. Have you ever been told that you're not allowed to eat something because it would spoil your appetite? Oh, don't eat that candy. Supper's coming. Lunch is coming. Have you ever been told that? Maybe not candy, chips. Oh, don't drink that pop. Some things can spoil our appetite for God's Word. Did you realize that? You can just ruin your appetite. There are things that might seem to be good, but really are not worth much. We heard two of those this morning in the Bible reading. Psalm 119, verses 36 and 37 says, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Sin can take away our appetite for God's word. This gives an example, selfishness, materialism, things I want. I want this, I want that, give me this, and we become so absorbed with that, we really don't want to hear God's word. It takes away our appetite for knowing what God says. Worthless things can distract us from God's word. Now maybe this isn't a sinful thing. They may not be wrong in themselves, but they do nothing to nourish us spiritually. We spend our time absorbed with them. It may be sports. It may be reading a good book, an acceptable book. But we fill our lives with that. We stay up late at night doing something that maybe is not sinful. Oh, it's so hard to get up the next morning. And I take time to read my Bible. Oh, I'm too tired for that. I'm going to sleep as late as I can, get up at the last minute, grab something quick to eat, or maybe I'll just get a cup of coffee on the way and go to work or go to school. Because we've filled our heart with something worthless, our life with something worthless, and we don't have an appetite the next morning to get up. Oh, I really want to hear what God has to say. If we want to enjoy a really good meal, you know, suppose your mother tells you, this, we're going to have your favorite food for supper. It's maybe your birthday, like in our house, and supper's going to be at 6 o'clock. Now, do you like popcorn? Yeah? Okay. At 5 o'clock, at 5:30, are you going to sit down and eat a big bag of popcorn when you know at 6 o'clock your favorite meal is coming? Well, why not? You like popcorn, don't you? Well, yeah. But when you know your favorite meal is coming, you want to be as hungry as you can be so that when you sit down, you can eat as much as you want of your favorite meal. Save your hunger for good food. And we do the same with the Bible. When we're hungry, don't fill your life with things that don't really satisfy, with junk food, with worthless things. Avoid sin. Avoid doing things that are selfish. Avoid filling up your life with your time with worthless things. Otherwise, you won't have the time or desire for God's Word. God's Word, the Bible, is important. So we need to do those things that would help us desire it, just like we would our favorite foods. Read it, do it, taste how good it is, and do those things which help us to want even more. Now, if you five want to go back to your seats, go ahead. After the service, come to me, and there are 5 squares of chocolate here. You can each have one if you would like one. You can go back to your seats. I'm going to have a few sentences left with the adults. Adults and parents, I have a follow-up suggestion for you. No sheet. This is fairly simple for you to remember. And for parents, this is something for you to help your children. What might be keeping you from desiring God's Word like the psalmist? That is something you need to think about. The message this morning is fairly simple. God's Word should be something to be personally enjoyed and valued. The psalmist enjoyed and valued God's Word because of the benefits it brought. And we should then cultivate a desire. We can and should develop a desire for God's Word by experiencing its benefits. We read it. It's sweeter than honey. Why should I desire it? Well, what's keeping you from desiring God's Word like the psalmist? Talk about this. Have you failed to taste it? Well, I don't know. I've never felt comfort from God's Word. I've never gotten strength from it. Is there sin in your life? Are there worthless things which have filled you up and taken away your appetite for God's Word? Think about this, talk about this, so that you can learn to develop a desire for God's Word. So that with the psalmist we can say, this is sweeter than honey. This is something I desire, something that I love, because it's God's Word and it benefits me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have spoken with us. And as we heard last week, it didn't just stop at the beauty of your creation, reminding us that you do exist, that you're an all-powerful God, but you have spoken in words to us. You are a personal God that has communicated in words. And we can read this. We have it in our hands, and we can put it in our hearts, and it should become for us something that satisfies us, gives us strength, comforts us. Father, I thank you that we have such a comfort. I thank you for those here who have experienced that, And I pray that each here would find that to be the case, that they would examine their lives and see how they can cultivate in their hearts a desire for your word, so they can join together with the psalmist and many others who say it's sweeter than honey. It's something we desire, we love, we long for. May that be what your word is for in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.